on a new series called Renewed. Broken in a way they have encountered issues in their lives. Last week we talked about the Samaritan woman. We talked about rejection. We talked about brokenness and how Jesus approaches these people, renew their lives, and then send them back out again, you know, to live a great new life. And how they went on to even testify of his goodness. And so we actually, it's a very short series, only 3 weeks. We are on a second one today. And the title of today's message is really, it's not happening. Sorry, I didn't on it. It's Jesus and the demon-possessed man. All right, everybody say, ooh. Come on, come on. One more time. Everybody say, ooh. Now you turn to someone and say, don't get spooky. We're talking about demons tonight. We don't talk about this all the time in church. You know, we talk about the love of God. We don't give too much attention to the demons because you know Jesus has overcome them. Right, but it's good to know. It's good to know about what the demonic world is all about and how this came about with this guy. So this is an encounter that Jesus has with a man. You know, but before we get into that, how many of you watch horror movies here? I mean, come on. How many of you watch horror movies? Way up high, lift up your hands. You know, not that many. So you guys, we all don't pay to frighten ourselves, right? I remember the when I was young, I watched the two horror movies that I know is really the Exorcist and The Omen. I mean, that was like, 40 years ago maybe, you know, long, long time ago. And I don't recall I want to watch any more of those scary movies. So I don't want to pay to frighten myself. Okay, but these things are real, all right? In a way, Hollywood, when they come out with this kind of movies, they kind of like put in a semblance of truth in it. All right, and as you know, the demonic world is real. It's not a fictional thing. It's real, and so there's a semblance of truth in what they, how they portray it. Okay, but yet at the same time, you know, Hollywood, they'll glamorize it. You know, they'll make it in such a way that the demonic world is so powerful. Okay, and us humans, we are so defenseless, all right? But that's not true, okay? And so Hollywood does all that to us, but at the same time, okay, right at the same time, you find that they can trivialize it. They also will trivialize it. They basically turn it into a very entertaining, some of these maybe even comedy. And I wonder whether you have watched Ghostbusters. It's probably one of the better movies that I know of my age, all right? I love Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd. I mean, how many of you love these guys? Only a few, okay? Only a few, because we know how old you guys are, all right? You were not even born, I think, when these movies came out, all right? So this is a very entertaining movie, okay? Ghostbusters. Okay, how about Casper, the Friendly Ghost? Okay. But there's no such thing as a friendly ghost, all right? A ghost is evil, okay? There's no such thing as a friendly ghost, okay? So Hollywood is not right in that sense. And of course, the famous Harry Potter. We find that in Harry Potter, we find there is a good witchcraft, good sorcery versus evil sorcery. But that's all wrong, okay? There's no such thing as good sorcery. It's all evil sorcery, okay? So in this movie, it's really evil versus evil. Nothing about good in there. Right? And so there's a lot of deception here that Hollywood tries to portray to us, basically the world. And so, but at the end of the day, you got to realize that, you know, while Hollywood can in a way make it so scary for us, all right, and yet at the same time can trivialize it, but the demonic world is real. All right, everybody say demonic world is real. Okay, why? Because the Bible tells us so. Okay, Ephesians 6:12 tells us that for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. All right? The Bible tells us that the demonic world does exist and it has power. Okay, you find that it says that we fight against rulers. You know, rulers here, they talk about principalities, okay? Principalities, govern territories. So you find that there is actually a principality over Malaysia. Okay, this is a demon that is set to take charge over the territory of Malaysia. Maybe there's one over Philippines, maybe there's one over Thailand, you know. If you go to places like Red Light District, I mean, I don't think there's one in Malaysia, or not that I know of, but there are a few in the Philippines because I worked there for many years. You know, if you go to Bugis, P. Bugis level, or you go down to the Bay Area and all that, you can see a lot of what you call red light districts, okay? And you can be quite sure that over that district, there is a demonic authority over it. Okay, that's why there's a manifestation of these kinds of sin in that place. So these things are real in that sense. There is a power that comes with it, all right? But in its essence, while it's true, okay, we have to be mindful of it, but we don't have to put too much attention into it, okay? So we come to this story in Mark. It's going to be Mark chapter 5 from verse 1 to 20 when we talk about the story of this man who was possessed by an evil spirit. All right, so I've broken up the passages into a few pieces so that we can kind of follow along. All right, so if we read from Mark 5 from verse 1 to 5, it goes like this. Verse 1 says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. So we seldom talk about demons, like I said, okay? But this is a very good story to learn from. And you find that in the Gospels, as you know. How many of you know that things don't happen by accident? The Gospels teach us something, all right? And the very reason why you're here is not by accident also, because this message is going to be for you, okay? God has a purpose for everything. And so immediately as he comes out, what does he do? He meets with this man with an unclean spirit. Okay, a man with an unclean spirit is defined, okay, some, what you call translations say that he is a demon-possessed man. Henceforth, the title itself, okay, he's a demon-possessed man. But the Greek, original Greek word for that doesn't exactly describe the fact that a man is possessed, so to speak, all right? I find it hard to pronounce a Greek word because I'm not Greek. All right, the Greek word there is daimono. What is that? Daimonazome. Who can pronounce Greek here? I mean, you guys from Keynote, come on. You know, maybe none of you study Greek. So anyway, it's daimonazomai or daimonazome. Okay, when it's translated, it basically means to be demon possessed or under the influence or control of demonic forces. But demon possessed was first used by King James Version originally, way back, okay, and they've continued to use that ever since. But when you talk about possession, okay, possession doesn't give us a good kind of like understanding of what's happening here, because possession in a way connotes ownership. How many of you know that the devil doesn't own us? Who owns us? God owns us. Jesus owns us, right? The Bible tells us that we are a chosen generation and a treasured possession, okay? So we belong to God. And so there's no ownership. The demon cannot own us. So to say that there's demon possession is kind of not entirely correct in that way, okay? Just take this example. If you have a house that's been invaded or infested with termites, my dad's home at one time was infested with termites, and he was telling me that at night when it's quiet, you could hear them chewing away the what you call the wood and all that. You could hear it because they are all chewing away, you know. And so if a house is infested with termites, do you call it a termite possession house? Or termite infested house or termite invaded house, okay? So in a way, if we allow demons to play in our lives, we can probably say that we are demon infested, okay, or demonized in that sense. Now, this is a bit interesting because if demons don't own us, okay, then what happens then? See, the only way they can control us is to influence us. And that's why it talks, the second definition there is that we come under the influence or under the power of a demon itself, okay? And influence, as you know, influence has varying degrees, okay? To the degree of your respect to a particular person, that's how you're being influenced, right? I mean, in life, if Dato stands up here and speaks, I mean, we are all attentive because we know he's a credible man, he's got lots of experience, and he knows what he's talking about. And so when he says something, we are influenced by it and we act upon it, right? So in a way, there's a degree, depending on the degree of influence, we act, okay? And so by and large in life, okay, the people who most influence us are probably our parents, our teachers maybe, your life group leaders, your pastors, your spiritual leaders, okay? But probably the most influential people in your lives are, like I said, probably your parents, right? Your wife. I mean, how many of you are married here? Right? You know that your wife is the Holy Spirit, right? So, you know, you got to listen to her carefully, okay? The power influence is depending on the degree of respect that you have for that person. So similarly in that sense, okay? Similarly in that sense, when you talk about demonic influence, is to what extent, to what degree you allow that demon to influence your life. So if you look at it, demonology, people who study demonology, they tell you that broadly, okay, there are four levels of influence. All right, it starts with harassment. Okay, there's probably a lot of temptation in that harassment itself. You're trying to quit smoking, but every time you go to work, somebody's offering you a free cigarette. You know, as you enter, you know, somebody's trying to offer you a free cigarette. You're coming home late from work. You're coming in at 10 in the evening. You're tired and all that, and then your neighbor upstairs is singing karaoke. Okay, singing My Way at the top of his voice, and you can't even rest. All right. And when he's finished and you're about to sleep, you turn on the aircon, it doesn't work. Okay? And so you get that kind of harassment, and you say, some demon is really trying to harass me. Okay? But don't get spooky, okay? Don't get spooky. All right? Because in essence, the demons are everywhere. Let's face it. They are even here right now. You know? They're everywhere. In your home, they're everywhere. But don't get spooky about it. All right? So harassment is probably one level itself. So if you are in CEO Dialogue, how many of you in CEO Dialogue Fitness? CEO Dialogue Fitness. Fitness? So every time when we finish service, we say, let's go for supper, okay? Just know that your pastor is not a demon, okay? So we are not tempting you. We're just looking out for you, okay? Just making sure that you have a full stomach, you can sleep well at night, okay? So we're not tempting you, so okay. But that's harassment, all right? That's the kind of the first level kind of thing that happens. Then vexing. Vexing is really intrusion. They come and really, you know, give you a bad time. You're already late for work and all sorts of things happen. And then it escalates up to depression. Okay, depression is bad because in a way you feel isolated, you feel hopeless, you feel unworthy, and so you get into a kind of a situation that you want to be secluded away, you just want to be isolated. Okay, finally you enter a stage or they call enslavement. All right. Enslavement is a stage whereby, okay, there are habitual sins, okay. You are now down to things like addiction, all sorts of addiction. You move, if you open yourselves to go to places like the karaoke bars or the casinos and all that. I mean, last week I was talking about the fact that Jesus broke a lot of norms, okay, traditional, cultural, and even religious norms to reach out to his people. And I said that, you know, as a businessman, sometimes I have to follow my clients or something. We go to a karaoke bar or whatever, okay? And I used to be troubled by that. And I used to ask Pastor Joy, what should I do? I said, oh, do you do anything there? I said, no, but then, so just tell. People ask you, just tell them, no, I'm just bringing my client along, okay? But the thing is that, okay, I think I should clarify also that, you know, if we continue to go, I mean, if I go once with my client, fine. If I go twice, okay. But if I continue to go, then I'm going to expose myself to this kind of demonic influence. Right? You start off, you go to a nightclub, to a karaoke bar, okay, fine, it feels good, you don't do anything, but soon enough, you know, the atmosphere, the spirit of lust, the spirit of addiction, the alcohol, the everything is going to start working on you. And if you don't stop, eventually you'll end up drinking, you'll end up smoking, you'll end up drinking more. Before you know it, you are a drunkard, okay? Or if you go to a casino, sometimes I work in the Philippines, and every time some of my Malaysian friends will come over to gamble. I mean, here they can only go to Genting. Over there, we have so many casinos. And then they come, Hussein, can you follow me? So I go there and I sit with them and talk to them and see them gamble and all that. Can you? But if I continue to do that every time, okay, I'm exposing myself to all this kind of demonic influence, all right? And then we allow, if we get into habitual sin, like pornography, if you cannot stop looking at pornography, it's going to lead on to many other things. Where you find that people get involved in people who are pedophiles. They enjoy, you know, sexually abusing small children. I mean, that is demonic. That's unnatural. Okay, they do that because they are under an influence. All right, it started off maybe with nothing, maybe just looking at pornography, but it leads on. Okay, so if we allow our mind and our life to be the playground for the demons, then you're going to end up that way. Okay, and so there are various levels of influence. Another enslavement example would be if you dwell in the occult. Okay, if you like to go to ask the spirit for empat echo, okay, you do it often enough, everything you will ask the spirit, okay, even gonna go to the toilet, so you will ask the spirit, okay. You know, so it's like feng shui and all that, okay. If you expose yourself to all sorts of things like that in the spirit world, you get addicted to it, you get enslaved by them. Right? And especially some of these new age ideas. Some of these right people come in the mind and say, you know, I got this new thing in town, you know, when you come together and you kind of draw energy, you know, and you kind of worship energy. And when you do things like that, you are actually trying to explore a different dimension. You're exposing yourself to the demonic world in that sense, because you know, there's such a thing as energy, of course. Why is there such a thing as energy? Because Jesus is light. Jesus is the purest energy you can get. He is light. I'm the light of the world. I'm light. When Jesus walks into a place, he is light. Energy comes in. You know, when we worship God, when God walks in with his presence, you feel different. Why? Because Jesus is energy. You know, you come in, you feel his presence. We want to worship Jesus. We don't want to worship another demonic thing. Right? And you find that you think that all these things may not have power, but really the Bible gives us a lot of examples. Like for example, Moses, right? When God encountered him in the burning bush. How many remember that story? When God encountered Moses in the burning bush, Moses was saying, hey, but if you ask me to go to Pharaoh and he asked me, who sent me? You say, okay, you said that I am who I am, sent me, but what am I going to show off? Okay, and God told him, what's that on your hand? He said, it's my staff, my rod. Okay, throw it on the ground. Boom, it becomes a snake. Remember that? And so when he says, okay, catch the snake by the tail. When he caught the snake by the tail, it became a staff again. Right? And so when he and Aaron went to see Pharaoh, that's exactly what he did. Aaron threw his staff on the ground. It became a snake. And then Pharaoh was impressed. Wow, called all his magicians to come. Take a look at that. Can you do that? And all the magicians threw their staff on the ground. And what did it become? It became snakes. So there is power. There is magic in the dark world. Right? Just as powerful as that. The only difference was that Aaron's staff ate up all the magician's staff. Okay. So, but the point is that, the point I'm trying to tell you here is that if you open yourselves to this kind of demonic activity in your lives, you can get drawn into it. There is power in that. And if you allow it to affect you, it will affect you. Alright, so we have to be careful. So these things escalate, okay? These things will escalate in your life if you allow it to happen. If you allow your mind to be their playground, if you give them a lot of respect and a lot of permission to run your life, they will take over your life. All right? And soon you will lose. You will be disempowered. Okay? Even we talk about empowerment and all that, but the devil, the demons will disempower you and influence you to do the things that they want you to do. So that's where the danger is. It's just like, you know, my wife and I, we're running an Airbnb because we have an old house. Okay, we have an old house in Tamantun, and now she's getting busy. Okay, which is great, you know. She's getting busy doing up the house, so now she is doing an Airbnb. And what do you do in an Airbnb? When people sign in, you vet through your tenant. Okay, they kind of apply through the app, and then she will see, oh, who is this? Oh, what kind of reviews did they get? I mean, I'm talking about tenant, not us. Okay, oh, this one a good review and all that. Why do we do this? Why do we vet them? We vet them because stay in our house are good people, right? Because if I don't vet them, one day we'll get somebody who comes in and doesn't want to leave. Then I will have a problem. Am I right? It's the same with our lives. Okay, if you're going to invite someone into your life, it's some of this new age thing about emptying your mind. Okay, great. You want to empty your mind and feel really light and all that. If you're not careful, something else will go in. Right? And so, when you empty your mind, you better make sure the Holy Spirit comes back right in. Okay? So the thing is that you want to make sure that you vet whoever that's going to come into your life. Okay. Just like we vet through those people whom our children meet. Okay. When they are young, we vet through who are your friends, where they come from, where they stay. Because we want to make sure that the influence that's upon them is going to be the right influence. Okay. So similarly, you should not allow the demon to influence you in that sense. All right. So I've talked enough about the demons themselves, okay? We know that they have power. We know that they can influence us. But the good news is that demons do not own our will. Come on, someone say amen to that. Amen. Okay? The reason why they don't own our will is because we are created in the likeness and image of God. Because we have the capacity and the free will to make our own choice. So, some people say, hey, you know what? The devil made me do it. Oh, really? The devil can't make you do anything, all right? Because you have the power to choose. It's really your own choice. But if you allow him enough room to influence you, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. You know why? Because John 10:10, some of you do John 10:10, but this is the Bible, okay? John 10:10 says that, you know, Jesus said that he has come to give us life and life abundantly, right? But the devil only comes to come to do what? To steal, kill, and destroy. And that's his mission. Okay? And that's his mission. Read up John 10:10, okay? The devil's mission, the only thing he'll come is to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to come to hurt us, essentially. He's vicious, he's deliberate, and the reason why he does that is because he's already lost the battle with God. He's lost it. When Jesus died on the cross, the devil has lost it. Okay? And so the only way is that when he hurts the people that God loves, he hurts God. And that's why his mission is to make sure that all of us will follow him down the path of hell. That's why we have to make right choices. And so this is a real thing, okay? So this is a real thing. So know that the enemy does not own our will. All right, no matter what, you have the capacity to choose what you want to do. Secondly, the devil only has power over us to the degree we believe his lies. Okay, the weapon of the devil are only simply four things. One, he will tempt you. He'll tempt you until you give up. You know, you just will come. You will just keep coming. It will come and come and come. Okay. But for some of us Christians, maybe we can withstand that. All right. Some of us are so good. CEO fitness, right? Wow, really very good, man. Supper also don't want to eat. Wow. And then go back already, never mind. Where's Wing? Wing, go back home already. Send a photo. Drink, eating yogurt. Ayo. We are eating talok min, man. Come on. Yogurt. So, that's his weapon, right? He will tempt you, tempt you, tempt you. Okay. But if you pass that, he will try and deceive you. He'll try and deceive you. He'll tell you that it's okay. Anyway, you're not doing anything. You go to the bar. It's okay. It's okay. Never mind. Okay. You are strong. Okay? He'll try and deceive you. Okay? And finally, he will try to accuse you. He will accuse you. Okay. You do something wrong. You do a little bit wrong and tell him, wow, Christian. Christian like that. You call yourself Christian. Huh? Ayo. You know, shame to your church, man. You know. That's what the enemy is going to do. He's going to accuse you. And then, you know what? You're going to feel so unworthy. You're going to feel like you are so useless, you're hopeless and all that, that you withdraw. You know. And when you withdraw from your church, you withdraw from your LG group, you withdraw from your friends because of all these accusations that the enemy gives into your mind, and that's where he's going to destroy you. Right? That's when you're going to backslide and you're going to think of committing suicide because he makes you feel so desperate that you just want to die. Okay. So, but the thing is that it's all just in your mind. Because the enemy can only tempt, deceive, harass, and tell you lies every day. That's the four things. Tells you lies every day. He's the master liar. He's the cleverest liar. You know, sometimes we lie, right? How many of you lie? Wow, this is a very, very holy church, man. Nobody lies in this place. Come on. How many of you lied before? Come on. We all lie. You know why? Because of the sinful nature in us. Because that comes from the devil. Right? Because he is the master liar. He's been lying for the last few thousand years. Okay, he knows how to craft a lie that makes that sound so real. Okay. So that's all he can do. All right. And so with that, okay, we're going to move on. And so, as we read the first five verses again, you find that Jesus meets with this unclean spirit. And let's see what kind of, what's going on with this guy, all right? What manifestation do we see from these next few verses? So, he lived among the tombs. Okay, you know, living among the tombs is unnatural. How many of you know that? Nobody wants to live in the tomb. All right. And I remember when I was Boy Scout, okay, I was just about maybe about 15 years old, Boy Scout, and we are always daring one another to do things, okay? And we said, one day we said, we're going to camp in a cemetery, right? It's just overnight, okay? And we're going to do that, all right? We'll camp in a cemetery and we'll do it overnight. Okay? And because it's overnight, we didn't bring any tents. We're just going to sleep under the stars, okay? And that was the dare that we did, okay? But I can tell you, the cemetery on the daytime is quite different from the cemetery in the nighttime, okay? It's quite different for a 15-year-old, all right? You know, my goodness. So let me tell you, it's unnatural. Nobody takes it naturally to go and live in the tomb. Okay? So there's some demonic influence there, right? And it goes on to say that this guy has supernatural strength. No one is able to subdue him. You know, how many of you know that? And when there's something demonic, they have supernatural strength. It's unnatural for that. Okay? And then thirdly, we find that his day and night, he's crying out and he's cutting himself with stones. You know what's the origin of that? That is demonic, actually. You know, the origin of that comes in 1 Kings 18, verse 28. You know, that was the time when Elijah, you remember the story? Elijah is challenging the prophets of Baal, or Baal. All right. So Elijah says, I'm the only one prophet left of the Lord. Okay, the 450 of you prophets of Baal. Okay, let's see who is stronger. Let's see whose God is going to come through. And so they they get these bulls, they cut it up, they put it on the altar, and they say, call the fire down, all right? And what happened was all the Baal prophets, they were praying, they were crying, they were doing everything, and nothing was happening. And you find that Elijah was taunting them. Why is your God asleep? Huh? Is he not doing anything for you? Huh? So he was really taunting them, and all these guys were exasperated, and they start cutting themselves. You know, that's a demonic sacrifice, you know that? They start cutting. The Bible says, until blood flowed from them. You know. And so that was the origin of it. That's a demonic thing. Okay, when a person tries to inflict injury upon himself, that's demonic. When a person wants to commit suicide, really that's demonic. Because the natural instinct for all of us is to survive. No one purposely comes to say that I want to die. But a demon would accuse him, would tell him so many lies that he feels so unworthy. That he looks at his own life and says that, you know, it's hopeless. And so they're tired of living and they want to die. That's a demonic influence. So no one wants to commit suicide on their own. All right. I always say, if you believe in gravity, how many of you believe in gravity? If you believe in gravity, you're not going to jump out the window, right? But if you don't believe in gravity, you think that nothing's going to happen, then you can go out and try, and you just jump out, see if you float or not. If you float, then maybe you're the Avengers, okay? Jenny's going to talk about that. Okay? So the thing is that naturally, okay, our instinct is to survive. So here you find that this man is under a demonic influence. Okay? And he, in fact, the Gospel of Luke says that he's even naked. This guy walks around, you know, without any clothes. And he's living among the tombs. And he has super strength. Boy, this is the event. Maybe this is the origin of Avengers. Anyway, okay. So as we move on, as when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" You find that the demon recognizes the Son of God. Wow, that's interesting, right? "I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." You know, the thing is that demons do recognize the deity and the divine nature of Jesus. They know. Why? Because they operate in the spiritual realm. They see Jesus, they know. They know who is he, the Son of God. Okay. But probably it wasn't their time yet, because their ultimate destination is the abyss. Okay. And so here is what's happening. He's trying to negotiate with Jesus. All right. Please don't torment us yet. Okay. But what I'm trying to, my point is to you is that they are terrified of God. They are terrified of Jesus. And so any demon that comes before us, we just say, in the name of Jesus, they are more afraid of you than we are afraid of them. All right? So despite the fact that he says his name is Legion, many, Legion means anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000. So in the Roman battalion, a legion is between 3,000 to 6,000 people. Okay? So if he is right, so you've got 6,000, maximum of 6,000 demonic spirits in that guy. Can you imagine? They're all fighting for space in there, you know. And despite that, they are all terrified of Jesus. Okay, that's my point. Okay, so as we move on, we say that we know that Jesus has power and authority over all these demons. Right? So even for us, okay, because of our fallen nature, because of who we are, there's always a tendency that we would want to feed our own gravitation, okay? I mean, basically, whatever that fits the flesh, okay? We want to get it done, right? We want it now. We want to feel good, okay? And so we always yield to the temptation in that sense. Okay? But you know that Jesus has power over that, all right? And you find that in Colossians 1, okay? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, it says that he has delivered. So Jesus has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Okay? You find here that that Jesus redeemed everything for us in that sense. He has transferred, he has taken us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We come into a place of his kingdom where we find forgiveness, we find redemption, we find love. Okay. So we are blessed in that sense. Okay, but despite the fact that God has done that, there is still a lot of darkness in us because of our fallen nature. It's because we're still not entirely perfect in that sense. Okay, and so we have this tendency, like I said, to want to do the things that feed our flesh. Sometimes people say, try a smoke. Lah. You know how I got addicted to smoking? You won't believe it. I used to smoke one packet a day before I met Jesus. It started because my MD, every time I go in and talk to him, he said, Hoseng, take one, let me talk. I said, okay, try. You know. I started with one stick, two sticks, three sticks. Before I knew it, I was doing one packet a day. It starts like that. You go to a karaoke bar, right? No, I don't want to sit with any girl. Never mind. I'm just on my own. Okay. Before you know it, you have two girls on your side already. Like Taiko already. You know. Whiskey, single malt, wow. All building up in front of you. Okay. So it will escalate, essentially. All right. But God is saying, look, you know what? God is saying, I've moved you out from the kingdom of darkness. Okay. I put you into the kingdom of his beloved son. Okay, we live in the kingdom of God today. And our responsibility really as disciples is to usher in that kingdom, the kingdom of God, into this world, essentially. The only thing that will solve the problems of society and all that is the rulership of God in our lives. When you talk about a kingdom, you talk about a king, okay? And a king, when you talk about king, you talk about rulership. Jesus wants to rule his kingdom in this world itself. We can, all these liberal people talk about solving life, social problems and all that. They have all these great ideas of what they can do. But actually, only Jesus can solve that. All sorts of funny ideas come. They think that the woman's right over their own body means they can abort any baby. I mean, you know, what does that mean? You know, they have all sorts of ideas. But only Jesus can save us. Only Jesus can save us. And so you find that when we talk about the kingdom, we talk about the rulership of God. God wants us to exercise that rulership in his name in this world today as disciples. Right? We are basically ambassadors, so to speak, right? You find that, you know what, when the Bible says, you know, the word safe, you know, when God asks you, are you safe? You know, that's not a religious word, you know. That's not a religious word. It's an operative word. It's an operative word that God rescues us from the power of darkness and the consequence of sin in our lives. Okay? God rescues us on the very things we cannot rescue ourselves. Right? God saves us from the things we cannot save ourselves. And I'm not just talking about salvation. Salvation is definitely God's domain, all right? Even sickness. You can't save yourself from sickness. Some sicknesses, you know, there's just no cure for it. Depression. Some of this is medical and all that, okay? But a lot of times, you know, when we allow the demon to run in our heads, you know, only God can pull that out. So the word safe is not a religious word. Okay, it's not. You know, when we go, are you safe? No. That's not religious. It only means that we are to submit under the lordship of Christ. Okay. Saving doesn't come until we have him as Lord. That's why when we pray to receive Jesus, we pray to receive him as my personal Lord and Savior. Saving doesn't come without the lordship. And so rulership means we put ourselves into the fullness of his lordship. When we walk in, you know, if there's demons in this place, when we walk in with the lordship of Christ, they just run. The problem is that in our lives, the many things in our lives do not come under the lordship of Jesus. That's why we will have demonic attacks. When we sin, when we begin to sin, we give the enemy a foothold into our lives. And as we continue to sin, we give him permission to come in and stay in your life. Okay. Although he cannot own you, but he can certainly influence you a lot. And so for him, for us to overcome that, is to put the Lordship of Christ over us. Right? And so that's so important when we come before God, when we want to be delivered from our addiction, when we want to be delivered from being addicted in gambling or alcohol or smoking, you know, you come under the Lordship of Christ and the demon will fly. You know, when I was a very new Christian, I say I was smoking once, one box a day, one whole packet a day. And the funny thing is that, I will smoke in office, but I will not have that urge at home because my wife doesn't want me to smoke. So the demon knows my wife is more powerful than me. Okay, so I when I go home, I don't have the urge. When I leave the house, I feel like I need to get a cigarette. You know, and every time I come home, I would tell my wife, "Ah, you know what? I smell, but this not because I didn't smoke. Actually, I was just in this meeting in the room like that. You know, glass room, and everybody is smoking. I'm the one not smoking. So, but I smell. That's the whole reason why." So I lie. So the thing was that when I got saved, right? I got saved on 16 September 1991. Okay, I knelt down and gave my life to Jesus. And like I said, when I got saved, I didn't become a saint. I was still smoking. I went to still smoking. You know, I was walking. And I was, my hands will naturally go to my drawer, bring out a cigarette. You know, it's all natural. Okay, I was still smoking. The only thing that struck me was this, okay? I said, you know, it wasn't the smoking actually, it was the fact that I kept lying to my wife. And I said, you know, Lord, I got to stop this. I call myself a Christian and every day I'm lying to my wife about smoking. So I decided 1 week from that day onwards, all right? 1 week from my salvation day on the 23rd, I remember this very clearly, on the 23rd of September 1991, I was going to work and I said that, Lord, I'm going to fight this cigarette thing, okay? You know that along the way, I've done from Benson, Dunhill, Peter Syverson, okay? And then I moved it down to Mile 7. Then Mile 7 came up with a Mile 7 Mile. How many of you heard that? Have you heard that? No? See? You guys don't know much. Mile 7 Mile. Okay, that was the first time it came out, and they were promoting it. And I remember that they attached a lighter to the cigarette because they were promoting it. So I was smoking. I was trying to bring it down from a Benson to a light and a lighter one. Okay, light is from a mile to milder. I couldn't do it. And so anyway, on that day, I said, Lord, I'm going to fight this thing. So I parked the car. I walked to a hole in the wall, kind of a paper stall, you know. And then I bought hacks. I bought chewing gum. I bought everything. I went to my office, and I sat down in the office. And then I took my cigarette and I said, goodbye. I threw it down. Okay. And then I said, so I need to pray. You know, and I'm a 1 week old Christian. I don't even know how to pray. And my room is like that, a glass room. And my stuff is all outside. And I said, oh my goodness. So I turned my chair, to the window. And I said, Lord, help me to stop this urge from smoking. And I tell you, I can tell you this experience. When I said that, the moment I said that, Lord, help me to stop this urge from smoking, I felt something just left me. Something just popped out of my heart. And I was just pounding away my heart. And I just know, wow. I said, I'm delivered. I don't want to smoke anymore. I don't need to smoke. And I walked outside to my staff. I said, you know what? I just feel I'm free from smoking. I'm not smoking anymore. And they start all laughing. Yeah, sir. 7 days I give you, sir. Okay. But 7 days came and went. All right. And they say, after 7 days, they say, sir, 3 months. Okay, 3 months. Okay. 3 months came and went. You know, God delivered me just like that. I could actually feel something just popped out of my heart, seriously. You know, and yeah. So God can deliver us, okay? God has the power to do that, all right? And so let's move on, okay? We're going to finish soon, all right? And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs, let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirit came out and entered the pigs and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steps the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. And then it goes on, the herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what was that that happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion sitting there. Okay, before he was, nobody can even hold him down, right? Now he's seated, clothed. Gospel of Luke says he was naked, now he's clothed and in his right mind. Okay, and they were afraid. So he got delivered. Right? Jesus delivered him from the demon, from the legend of demons rather. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from that region. You know what? You know, you may be here today and you hear this message, okay? The two things can happen here. For these people, when they saw the demon-possessed man become healed, it felt nothing to them. You know why? Because they looked at the 2,000 pigs that went down and was drowned. Okay? And they saw that the economic value of that was more than the person's healing itself. And know that it's not like that with Jesus. Okay, it's never like that with him. A life is more important to Jesus than anything in this world. And so he will come for us. God will come for us. All right. For us, we should see in terms through our eyes of compassion the people that needs healing. And Jesus will see it that way. But what was interesting was that why did the demons want to go into a pig? And I tried to research it, and I found this sentence in Pastor Kevin Corner's book. Pastor Kevin Corner said that, you know, demons like to inhabit. They like to inhabit. And so here you find that these demons, they know that they're going to be out, okay? But they feel uncomfortable out in the open. They have to inhabit. And so they say, you know what? If I don't get this guy, give us the pig. And this is what I believe. So so Jesus allowed them. They all went into the pig. And the problem is that, you know, the pig, an animal, doesn't have the same capacity and will like us. We have the capacity. Animals don't have it. That's the difference between us and the animal. And the thing was that when they entered the pigs, They were so tormented that they want to die. They just rushed down and they got drowned. But that should not happen to us. Okay. If you have a demon in there, you just tell him, Jesus is here, get out. Okay. Because the pigs could not decide on their own. They cannot make their own. They just tormented and then they just driven out and they just want to die. Okay. But for us, it's different. Okay. We have the capacity to choose. We have the capacity to say, no, we want God. All right. And so the thing is that our fervent desires to be under the lordship of Jesus, okay, deliver us from darkness. The thing is that you find that here in Mark 6, when you go back to the original, when that man saw Jesus step out of the boat, immediately he ran, okay? ESV says that he ran and he fell down before him. But the Greek word for falling down actually is worship. In New King James, he said that he fell down and worshiped Jesus. So you find that this demon-possessed man is so desperate. He wants Jesus to get this thing out of his life. He came to worship God, and Jesus knows that he wants to be delivered. The fact that if we want to be delivered, we will be delivered. To the extent that we want that demon to play in our lives, he will remain there continually. But the day you step up and say, I want out of this, Jesus, come into my life and get rid of this thing, you will be set free. Right. When the sun sets us free, we are free indeed. You know, because why? The one who is in us, he who is in us, is far greater than he who is in the world. Right. Whoever is in us, Christ in us, is far greater than the devil outside there. Okay. And so we have the ability to do that. And so finally, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had possessed and demons begged him that he might be with him, and he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus has done for him, and everyone
marvel.
You find the difference between home and the people who went to investigate how he was healed are totally different. The people who went to investigate was looking at the dollars and signs. Can you imagine? It says 2,000 pigs gone. You know, we lost. How much money is that? They didn't see the value of life. But here, when he went home, Jesus says, go home and tell everyone what I have done. All right? And so he goes home, and you know what? People still miss him. Probably his chair is still at the table, at the dining table. People who loved him. Home means here the household. All right? His friends, his family, they still miss him. And when they saw him coming back healed, they marveled. Said, wow. And so, when we get the goodness of God in our lives, it's always good to testify. Amen? That's what we do. Worship night, this Saturday. And ever since we started that in January, we've always had somebody up here testifying how good God is. And so I want to encourage you, all right? We're doing that this Saturday. Just come, worship with us. We're going to give God praise, give God glory, and we're going to testify of his goodness. Right? And so as we close, come on, why don't we stand? As I close, I just want to pray for some of you. Okay. As I close, you know, I don't know where your journey is. You know, when I was still a businessman, I'm always have to confronted with choices. You know, I mean, like I said, you know, sometimes we have to follow our clients to karaoke bars. Sometimes we have to take them out to eat and stuff like that. And we're always exposed. Okay, but I'm thankful in that sense. Okay, part of my journey, my wife watches out for me. How many of you are thankful that your wives look out for us? Our wives look out for us, you know. And in that journey, basically, when I'm getting too far, my wife says, you know what? It's too often now, you know, you got to change, right? Holy Spirit said, you got to change, okay? But sometimes it's tough because your boss calls you and all that, and says you have to make tough decisions. And so I want to encourage you, every time you step up in faith, and obey Jesus, the grace of God just comes in. Right. Each time I go out and I tell my boss, before I could say, okay, for saying it's okay, you can rest tonight. Okay, you know, right? Okay, yeah, I know, okay. Yeah. Make your position, make your stand clear with the people around you, right? When you declare that, you fight the demons. There's nothing spooky about it, okay? Demonic world is real, but we have all the authority over them in the name of Jesus. Amen? All right, so if you're here today, if you know, if you need help, you need prayer, you know, if you have something in your heart that is troubling you, things that to the extent that you feel that you can't control, to the extent that you think that, you know, this influence over my life is just too great, maybe pornography, maybe just greed, I just want more money in your mind, you're somehow affected by the fact that I need to keep earning more and more and more, you know, it's not giving you enough sleep, it's giving you headache, you know, there are things like that in your life that you want God to deal with. I just want you to lift up your hands right now. You don't have to be shy. The things you are battling with, things that you try very hard, sometimes it's difficult. But God is here. He's going to stand with you. He's going to deliver you. I see these hands. That's you. Just raise it up really high. Lord, you see these hands. Lord, we come humbly before you, oh God, Lord. We come humbly before you today, oh God, Lord. Lord, we ask that indeed you deal with the situations in our life. Many times we can be ignorant. We allow the enemy to come into our lives. We give the enemy a foothold because we sin, oh God, Lord. Sometimes we sin unknowingly. We can, you know, see a pornographic video from WhatsApp because it came through a old school network. Sometimes we We have feelings of lust. Things that affect us, oh God, beyond our control. Lord, today we come to you, oh God, and we ask that you deliver us, Lord. Set us free from all this, that we can walk with you in freedom, that we will no longer be enslaved by sin, oh God. And even right now, oh God, Lord, so to encourage you, those who lift up your hands, I just want to encourage you to say in your own words that you submit to the entire Lordship of Christ. Lord, we submit to you even right now, Lord. Submit unto your Lordship, oh God, that you are our new master, that you take control of our lives. And even as we do that, oh God, Lord, we pray that you deliver us, oh God, Lord. Set us free from the bondage of sin, oh God, tonight. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. And just say, amen. Okay, let's worship God.